another fun Tuesday evening to be here talking all things sports and non-sports as well. Ladies, have you settled into a new routine when it comes to this pandemic?
I thought I did, and then homeschooling got upped even more, so no.
How did homeschooling change?
I guess last week we were contacted, parents were contacted from, I don't know if it was just JT school or whatnot, probably all schools. They're checking in to see how things are going and what teachers can do differently.
And
I'm
and
like,
this
nope,
is Duval
everything's
County?
Great. Yes.
Okay.
I'm like, nope, everything's great. Everything's good. I'm enjoying it. I can handle this one. And then this week, so many more lessons. I'm like, what parent out there said they need more?
They're bored.
I don't like it.
So the hours upon, or the now the hours have increased that he's
yes.
watching the computer?
Yes, or I'm having to help and do stuff. And I'm like, nope, wasn't on board with this one.
Now, do you do PE?
Yes, so that's something new that started. She sends out a video that I think is off of YouTube, and it's animated kids doing, you know, sessions. And yesterday was like 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And today was 12 of just straight exercises.
How
did I already do my exercise, but I'm like, all right, I'll do it with you, you know. It just complains.
Like of what? What is he doing? Jumping jacks and stuff?
Jumping jacks. They have him do burpees.
Ooh.
They have him do stretches and leg kicks and donkey kicks. And
did you see the video of Steph Curry's son, Cannon?
Yes.
Oh, so cute. If you haven't seen it, go to Steph Curry's Instagram. And his little boy is just over a year old, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And he is doing, like, his dad tells him to do push-ups and sit-ups, and he has no idea what he's doing, but he's attempting.
That's so cute.
It's really cute. I recommend it. Taylor, what about you? You're in this building all the time, the radio station, but
like
there's virtually nobody here.
Yeah, weekday-wise, though, I feel like it honestly hasn't changed too much, just because I am in the building, and I'm doing the exact same thing as I was, just with less people around. But even that, the people that aren't around are sales majority, and even with that, they're in and out of the office all week anyways. So being here, I honestly haven't noticed a whole lot. My schedule stays the same, that, but once like Friday night hits, that's when I'm like, I don't even know. Like, I ended up sleeping so much last Friday, and I woke up on Saturday and I was like, why did I even sleep that much? I wasn't that tired to sleep for like 15 hours that I did, not consecutively, but like slept, woke up, ate, took a shower, went back to bed, and then woke up the next day. And my best friend Maria called and she's like, do you want to come over? I was like, yes, because I have to do something. And they're like, her and her husband are like the two people that I hang out with right now. And they're both at home. They're not working, either of them. So they're just sitting at home all day, not doing anything. And they're losing their minds right now. But with that's the one thing that I'm trying to figure out. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I was telling Don, I was like, I literally have like butt pains right now from sitting so much.
Well, and I mean, I think there are a lot of people who are sleeping more. I guess some people might lose sleep, A, if you've lost your job or are worried about that, or B, if you're somebody who does worry about either getting the virus or spreading the virus, and I understand all that. But on the other hand, right, there's a lot of hours that are no longer filled with doing things or watching live things. And so I do think a lot more people, or at least for me, I'm sleeping a lot more. I can say that definitively. I never sleep past like 6:30, 7 a.m. Never. Even weekends, doesn't matter what I've done the night before. And now I wake up and it's almost 8 all the time. And I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
I'm not like setting an alarm either, because there's no reason to get up early, because I used to go to the gym every day. And now I obviously don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's little things that have changed a lot. And certainly, I think we're all kind of getting used to the new routine. Certainly the school at home is throwing parents for such a loop. I have a girlfriend who texted the other day. She's trying to work her full-time job from home with two kids that are getting homeschooled, and they're in different grades. And she's like, and exactly what point am I supposed to be doing all three of these things at once?
Yep.
Yeah, that's impossible.
Right.
That's impossible.
But I think everybody's managing, and maybe some people work after the kids go to bed and work on weekends, things like that, just to try and figure it out. And besides, you have nothing else to do on weekends, right, Taylor? So you may as well work.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about one other thing that's drastically changed. That will be this year's NFL draft. I know John Harbaugh is worried about different security and things like that when it comes to the draft.
Of course a Baltimore Raven would say something like that. Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Tattletales, that's what they are. Bunch of instigators.
But I did read Peter King's Football Morning in America. I always want to call it the Monday Morning Quarterback. Football Morning in America. And I think they really are worried about the security and hackers getting into their stuff. I mean, can you imagine if, I'll just use the Jaguars as an example. Can you imagine if the Jaguars have an idea of who they're taking, but the team right in front of them is able to find out that information and then takes that player, let's say it's Derek Brown, and they take that player. And then what do you, I mean, you had who you wanted, but information got leaked out. And I don't think that would completely drastically change the Jaguars. They could pick another defensive tackle and say Javon Kinlaw. But the idea that, let's say, quarterbacks fly in different ways because of that, I mean, you are talking about a massive undergoing.
I mean, it's going to be very interesting just from the aspect of how we're going to go about. We all have to sit there and watch it. I mean, that's obviously what we're going to do, which we would normally do anyways. But to not hear the boos every time Roger Goodell comes up.
Maybe he'll have his family sitting around booing
maybe.
Him.
There's a soundtrack.
It should be. You know, to not hear the Jets fans being angry about who they're going to pick, you know.
And misspelling their team name.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's just going to be very different. And I think it's going to be nicer for the fact of we're going to be able to hear everything that the whoever the pundits are going to be that are going to be on it. You know, whichever station you choose to watch, I'm always an NFL Network girl.
Well, Peter King thinks that there have been discussions that they'll combine them.
Right.
Yeah, ESPN and NFL Network.
So it'll be interesting, but this time we'll actually get to hear, because a lot of times once a person gets picked or stuff's going on stage and I can't hear because people are trying to keep, you know, whoever's there, they're trying to keep everybody entertained. And so that's so overpowering to me that a lot of times I can't hear exactly what you guys are talking about and giving me details of why this person's good and what this team needs. So for that aspect, I'm looking forward to it just for the fact of I feel like I'm going to get more knowledge out of it. And then I can't be mad at all the prospects that stay at home because you have to stay at home. So
that is true. You can't.
I think that in addition to the possibility of the hacks and something like that, I just think that this is kind of quick that they're having to pull this together. Like I think in their head, they've kind of been like, all right, this is probably where we are going to have to go. But they just officially announced it this week. So in that, now they're getting that final plan of like all the little pieces that they have to fit together and everything with that. And I think like we've even seen here a couple weeks ago with the teleconference of Marone and it messes up and then Tad Dickman has to go fix it. And this is obviously going to be a little more advanced because this is a large production. But I mean, little things go wrong even on a normal way that they've been doing it for however many years. And then now this year, it's something completely new that they're kind of doing last minute. So I wouldn't be completely surprised if there's like lag time somewhere or something gets messed up in that aspect.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah. And I kind of joked about it on Twitter because someone said that and I retweeted it and I was like, and with the 9th overall pick, the Jags pick, and it was like connection error, like it's like gone. And obviously I don't expect something like that to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if it did. And in that, who knows how to handle that from there, because we're all sitting here waiting who was picked or what's going on, and then how do all of them handle it, because this is the first time they're doing a virtual draft, so they're learning as we're learning also.
Yeah, I'm honestly thankful that they're having it. I think the free agency was excellent to have that type of news, even though guys couldn't necessarily take physicals right away, but to have that sort of news in a sports world has been great. And now to have the draft, I think it's important. And I think if you're the prospects too, you want to know where you're going. You don't want to wait another couple months to find out. I think especially, let's say, like you get picked by the Bucks now, right after Tom Brady goes there, you are even more excited. But yeah, I'm just so thankful that they're actually going to have it. And will there be some sort of technological issues? Probably. But the NFL has billions upon billions of dollars. So if anybody can get it done, I think that they could. Mm-hmm. By the way, today Major League Baseball comes out and says that they're at least having conversations about having all the teams go to Phoenix and then play in Arizona in a 50-mile radius. And in case you wondered why not Florida, since both Arizona and Florida have spring training, it's because the 13 ballparks in Arizona are actually less than 50 miles apart. The ones in Florida are not. They're a little more spread out. But Taylor, at least the idea that baseball could be as soon as next month, I don't think that's what's going to happen, but at least the idea that it could be, that has to get you excited, right?
Oh, for sure. When I saw that article this morning, I was so excited. And, you know, there's questions about it, and there's going to be questions, but the fact that they are trying to get the ball rolling on a timetable of any sort is kind of seeing that light at the end of the tunnel aspect. And there's things they're going to have to figure out. And I heard Frank mention about the weather, which Arizona's so hot. Mm-hmm. And last year I was there in April for the Cubs game, and halfway through the game they had to close. It was the Diamondbacks game, which they have a retractable, so they closed it halfway through. That's how hot it was. And not every field out there has that. So it is going to be, see how they would end up working that out, or just in general how they would do the schedule and stuff like that. And obviously with them still being worried health-wise, that's going to alter some of the decisions too. But like I said, just in general having the option of like, okay, we're really trying to figure out a way to get sports rolling again makes me excited.
And Donna, when we had this conversation on the Frangie show, it was my point of view is, how are players going to feel about being away from their families potentially for 4.5 months while this happens? And a lot of people who are military either texted or tweeted me and said, hey, military does it, so mm-hmm. the baseball players can do it. But for instance, Garrett Cole, his wife is pregnant, they're due in June. So what, is she going to go into labor alone and then he doesn't get to meet the baby until the baby's a few months old?
Well, I mean, I would imagine that he's not going to be quarantine to stay in Arizona. He would be allowed.
No, at least that's the way they're having these conversations now, is the players, the coaches, all the required personnel go there, stay in specific hotels, and the families don't get to go. That's one option.
Right. I'm not saying that she gets to go. I'm saying he should be able to leave and go home.
But then you expose, in theory, he's then exposed
traveling
and all that kind of stuff. Well,
then they shouldn't be playing at all. If you are thinking that your player is a threat to go home to visit his newborn, then what you're doing right now is wrong.
And I'm sure that's how the players' wives feel about it. The players probably themselves too. But that is part of the conversation.
In addition, there's not a timetable for it. Like, some are saying, hey, it could be 2-3 weeks a month, and then it would go back to regular baseball. You could go back and play at your home fields again once you get this full clear. They're just trying to get to the point right now where you get something going. Not saying this is going to be 4 or 5 months long is what I have read and what I am taking from it, is this is just their temporary fix to start getting baseball season started in general.
But do you agree with the military people who say, hey, deployment's way longer than 4.5 months?
Well, for sure. And that has nothing to, I mean, you're at least in the States and you're here. And that wasn't my initial thought. My initial thought was, well, then each baseball team must have to take out an entire hotel room. Right? Because you're not going to mix in the players and other people in a hotel, are you? Because a lot of the hotels have been closed.
Yeah, they probably each might have their own. But I'm assuming Arizona has, or Phoenix especially, has tons of hotels.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just a lot of, I don't know. I'm not a fan of this. I know I want baseball to come back, but I'm not a fan of this. It almost makes me feel like, yeah, I'd rather just wait until it's official. Because this, to me, just seems like, yeah, you're just, I guess you're giving us spring training, but you're telling me it's real regular season. I'm like, ugh.
What do you think about the electronic strike zones? Do either of you care?
I don't care.
I'm a very, I like traditional baseball, like stop changing it kind of person anyways. I think that it adds the umpire behind the plate, as frustrating as it is sometimes, adds to the game. That's part of what it's been forever. And you get mad at the ump because he makes bad calls or really good calls. And I mean, they mess up. Yeah. But the amount of strikes and balls that they are being called and the amount that you get really, really angry about, to me, is very thin, is slim.
It wouldn't bother me. I think this is a good way to test it. It wouldn't bother me in the least. As long as everything else is going according to plan, then that way you are keeping at least a few more people safe, which would be those umpires. All right, Rex Ryan, Mike Leach, they don't necessarily have anything in common, but they like to start up. We will talk about them coming up next. Listen to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet on 1010 XL.
You know, Lauren, on the last segment, you got me thinking, because in it you were saying you were just excited because the free agency has kept us busy, and now with the draft, this is keeping us busy, which with what we do, we need sports, so it's good that we have that. And in addition, we have some coaches that are adding to the list of things that we can talk about now, including Rex Ryan, who recently was on Get Up on ESPN. And on that, which we're kind of used to Rex Ryan saying some kind of off the wall or maybe bad things he shouldn't be saying, especially as a coach in the limelight kind of things. So recently in this, he was talking about Amari Cooper. And in the gist of it, he was kind of saying, I don't know why they just paid him this much money, this huge contract. He's not worth that contract. He's kind of a disappearing act. Yeah. But in addition to that, he used the word turd, calling Amari Cooper a turd. So from that, obviously got some backlash from a ton of players on Twitter and, you know, just fans in general of Amari Cooper, or maybe just the game in general, or not fans of Rex Ryan.
Which there are a lot of those.
Yeah, like that one's easy.
Donna's one.
That one is easy. So in this, Donna, from that, I kind of immediately, when I saw it, because I scrolled by and I was like, oh, Rex Ryan again. You know, that was my initial, where I was like, what'd he do this time? And when the first clip I saw was only him criticizing Amari on the field, which I was like, okay, like, whatever, because you can say, if you don't like a certain player, you think he's not the guy that is supposed to get paid, you have every right to, you know, voice your opinion on that. But he kind of crosses a line, and that's what Rex does. What was your immediate reaction when you saw it?
Well, I saw it and I'm like, of course he said something stupid like that. Yeah. The thing that got my attention was how many players came to his defense, because normally he'll say off the wall things like this, not necessarily calling somebody a turd, but who calls anybody a turd now anyways? I mean, that's so, you know, 12-year-old-ish.
Yeah.
But then again, he is like a 12-year-old. But the most recent one, I saw the McCourty twins come out and, you know, come to Cooper's defense, and they simply said they couldn't believe that when he said it on ESPN, that immediately they tweeted it out. Immediately ESPN retweeted it. Like, they wanted that to get out everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so they were confused by, why did you want this portion to get out everywhere? And secondly, you don't have to air Rex Ryan. You don't need Rex Ryan right now. There's nothing that he says that brings any, you know, kind of substance. Mm-hmm. To the world of sports right now, because he's, you know, that's who he is. But then again, I was also surprised that, or I guess impressed that Cooper hasn't come out and publicly said anything about it, which makes it that much more awkward.
Because now easy to just keep checking your bank account,
right?
Yeah. And right, then like, laughing.
Who cares what Rex Ryan? Right,
correct.
I mean, Ryan was, and I maybe it'll be, you know, part of the Pats fans, but I'll always remember him as his only goal was to beat New England. And he said that publicly. That was, my only goal is to beat New England. I don't care about anything else. I'm like, that's a really bad goal to have. It should be to win the division. It should be to, you know, win your comp. Anyway, but Ryan has come out and said, you know, I can't believe I said that and used that word. Obviously, it was a poor choice. So, I don't know. It's him.
Yeah.
I don't take anything he says with a bag of any kind of substance at all, because it's just off the wall kind of crap in that head.
Yeah, I think if you take out that one sentence about with the turd actually in it, at the end of the clip, he says, there's no way in hell I would have paid him that much money. No way in hell.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the comment still gets the same, not the same vitriol
right.
with crossing the line, but if it gets the same attention, though, because this is one of the best receivers in the NFL. And you have a coach who's really a has-been. It seems like just saying something that's going to get people's attention, it almost is clickbait, but in a visual way, because there's not a whole lot else going on. That's what I feel like he was almost like, they're almost telling him, which he's like that to begin with, mm-hmm. but I feel like they're almost saying, like, by all means, go even extra these days, because that stuff's good for us right now.
Right.
That's what it seemed like to me.
Yeah, and I heard Matt Hayes saying this the other day on XL Primetime too, which he goes, in addition to him kind of being this person anyways, like you said, maybe in that aspect, you're at home, like you're doing this over your computer, mm-hmm. video, chat, so maybe you're a little more comfortable and
True.
You're saying things that normally you wouldn't say if you were in a studio with cameras in your face and everyone surrounding you, but you're sitting at your home computer and you're like, oh, you kind of forget for a second that you are on national television, ESPN, that's going to get retweeted 5 million times. And I think like the twins that were commenting on it, they were saying that was their point. They were like, they put turd in the comment of it to get people to click and
right.
watch it. If you watch the whole thing, it was, you know, they were kind of upset in general about some of the comments, but mainly it was about that, about ESPN kind of
wanting
that mm-hmm. traction from this one little comment.
Have y'all done any Zoom conferences yet, by the way?
I just did one. Wait, was it last night? 2 nights ago.
Okay.
With my family.
With school? Oh, with your family. And how
yes.
did it go?
It went good, except the other brother, Jeff, never responded. Yeah. So we never knew where he was.
Oh, maybe he just didn't feel like being a part of it.
No, that's Jeff.
What about you, Taylor?
I have it Zoomed. I use like my FaceTime a lot just on my phone. Like my best friend that lives in Arizona, we FaceTime anyways quite often, but even more now because we're both just sitting there. We're like, hey, what you doing?
And I'm sure the conversations are scintillating, right? Yeah, this is what I've been doing
here.
Since then. So we did one, as I told y'all last week, with Doug Marone and Dave Caldwell, and it was last Tuesday morning. And here's the funny part. You have the option of saying you don't want to be videoed, and I wasn't asking any questions, so I chose the option of I don't want myself on video. And I'm so glad that I did, because I feel like it's very awkward, unless you're the one talking, to have a video on yourself this entire time. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's one thing if it's, like, a family. In this setting, obviously, there's only one person doing the majority of the talking. And I had gone for my, like, run walk. I had taken a shower, so I had wet hair. And I didn't have any makeup on. And then I realized, too, like, what if I was going to, like, touch my face? You know, which you're obviously not even supposed to be doing right now, even though you're at home. Still not supposed to touch your face. And, like, what if I just, like...
You're not supposed to touch...
I don't know.
How do you wash your face?
Well, that's different. You're actually in the shower. But then I was like, what if I... But, you know, like, what if I'm doing stuff I shouldn't be doing?
Everyone's like, Lauren,
yeah,
let's
and
see
so
you.
I was like, I feel like that's the smartest thing to do is just to select the do not video me option if you have to do anything professionally.
See, I would be more interested in why don't you want us to see you, Lauren? What you got going on?
Wet hair.
What's going
on? That's what
over
I had
there.
Going on. Everybody else, like some, of course, there were a lot of guys, so they had hats on and stuff.
Right.
And I wanted to wear a hat, but then I was like, I'm overthinking.
Yeah, you way
overthought the whole thing. And as soon as I knew there was like the option for the no video, I was like, that
oh,
is for me.
Nobody's surprised at that one.
I'm sorry.
Well, we do have another one, speaking of the coaches, because Mississippi State coach Mike Leach also got himself into a little bit of a situation as he tweeted something, and it was a picture. And in the picture, it was an older woman knitting. Mm-hmm. And what it was kind of supposed to be like a scarf, and as it would be like a cartoon, but not a scarf. It was a noose. And then it was saying, I can't remember the exact verbiage, but it was like she's going to hang.
Yeah, after 2 weeks of quarantine with her husband, Gertrude decided to knit him a scarf.
Yeah.
But and then it wasn't a scarf. It was a noose.
Yes. So this ended up kind of bringing backlash also. But in addition to losing a player, mm-hmm. A player ended up transferring because of this. And then it hit his parents, I think. I think it was his dad who ended up making the comment saying, you know, I don't want my son playing for a coach who is just going to come out and publicly talk this
right.
way and not think anything's wrong with it. So in that, it kind of stirred some things up. Rightfully so, I believe. And I think that if it was a normal person, if I would have seen that like on Facebook from a friend that I worked with somewhere when I was in college, and I would have just been like, okay, this is just supposed to be like a funny meme. But when you are a head coach of college football team and you are supposed to be like that leadership role and you are getting these guys to come play for you, and in a time right now where everything's a little touchy anyways because people are freaking out about this, again, rightfully so, but you can't just say everything you want to say.
Well, and you're in Mississippi.
Yeah. Right.
That's where right. you have to have awareness that you are now in the South. You're not in Washington anymore, Washington State. You are in the South. And there are a lot of people who have family history with awful, tragic stories that involve someone being hung. And probably in most of those cases, the person should not have been killed. They probably deserved maybe some other punishment, but maybe not necessarily, definitely not necessarily that. And so you just, I think in even without the pandemic going on, you have to be smarter than that, Mike Leach. Like he is a smart person, but I think people get caught up in kind of the memes and stuff. And so I'm sure he didn't think all the way through it. But when you are someone who has as many followers as he does, you do have to think all the way through it and go, can this offend anyone? And you may not be intending to offend, but you have to still think, can this be offensive? And in rural Mississippi, that is definitely offensive.
Right. And he's obviously come out and apologized. And like you said, he didn't mean to offend anybody. I'm one of his followers, and I love the random signs he posts and the random
a lot
stuff.
Of it's hilarious.
It is so funny. And as soon as I read this story, and I was like, ooh. Mm. Like, just like you, if I would have seen it, it wouldn't have crossed my mind as
I honestly maybe would have chuckled a little bit in the aspect of, like, I don't have a significant other that I'm with, but I see my friend, like my best friend and her husband. She's like, oh my gosh, he's driving me crazy. I don't, you know, like,
and it's jokingly,
yeah, obviously she's not going to actually go hang him,
right?
But it's one of the situations where they jokingly are like, I don't know if I can tolerate him. It's a joke. You're married, you love each other, but you're stuck in the house with this person all the time, working, now living, teaching children some of the times, like, that adds to things. So it's just the fact that you got to be aware of your surroundings.
Right. And for the fact that the player that has now entered the transfer portal hasn't even been contacted by Leach. Leach hasn't called him, saying he understands that he apologized. If he was sincere about it, he should at least call me. I haven't heard from him at all.
I think that's disappointing.
Yeah.
You even if you don't want that or don't expect that player to rejoin your team, and even if you don't want that player on your team, you still should reach out and, right. and say, you know, I didn't fully think of what I was doing and I shouldn't have done it. And I'm sorry that it caused you angst. And certainly if you want to go to another school, you have my blessing. And I'm going to pretty much assume that the NCAA is going to grant that student athlete immediate eligibility based off of the situation and how public it was.
Yeah.
But yeah. Come on, Leach. That's just a come on, man. Like, the Rex Ryan one didn't make me mad by any means. I don't think he should have said that
Rex
phrase.
Yeah.
And but I don't think his phrase was so incredibly disrespectful. I think, it, like you said, it's childish, but I don't know that it was intended to be incredibly disrespectful.
What would have been made the Rex Ryan thing probably better and go away is if he goes, you know what? I was wrong. I'm a turd myself. So that's what he should have said.
Well, I think
why I feel like I could call it.
That's why I can recognize it, because I am also one.
Yes.
Well, it's just when you think of that word and what it really means, then it makes you think, okay, that person's not a good person. That person is a piece of crap, off field issues. And if you're not, if you're just talking about the on field play, then that's where I think he shouldn't have even gone there with that. But either way, I'm still going to go back to, come on, Leach.
Come on, Leach. Well, ladies, we have a guest joining us next. Tammy Talley is the athletic director for Duval County, and she's going to join us on Helmets and Heels Driven by Tire Outlet.
Tammy Talley joining us right now on Helmets and Heels Driven by Tire Outlet. Tammy, director of athletics for Duval County Public School. Tammy, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, you guys.
Oh, thank you. I know that we're in very similar situations. You know, we're grasping at a lot of things that we can sports-wise. So tell us, what's going on in your world right now?
Well, pretty much we are working through our Duval homeroom, which in my opinion is a home run. Our superintendent and all of our administrators have done a really good job, along with our IT department, just making sure that our students are connected via Microsoft Teams, so our athletic coaches can get with their athletic teams, as well as our teachers getting with their classes and making sure that they are all taken care of academically and athletically. So that's, you know, as far as that's concerned. And then our coaches try to stay engaged with our student athletes via social media and other ways of just staying connected virtually, so that everybody's on top of their academics, on top of their fitness, making sure that our seniors are applying for scholarships and getting everything done through the NCAA Eligibility Center.
Hey, Tammy, it's Lauren. First of all, when it comes to the senior nights, I saw that video of Tanner Bauman, and I hadn't really even thought about all the different seniors that wouldn't get their senior night. So that part makes me sad. But moreover, kind of how are you helping them kind of coordinate through all this emotionally?
Well, we are, you know, just by giving them some type of opportunity to have their senior night, to have their proms, to have their different things that they're going to miss that face-to-face. We're working really closely with Channel 4 and Bob Ellis on doing some virtual senior nights where we are collecting action shots and headshots of the kids.
Nice.
And then we're also putting together, like, there's a script where every kid can fill in, like, their name, their what position they play, what sport they play, what their number is, a special coach that they want to thank, where they plan to go to college. It'll all be the same thing. And then we're going to put this video together, and then probably be able to air it on the on one of the Saturday afternoon shows, so that the kids can, you know, keep it, have a little keepsake, And so now I kind of feel like a lot of good is coming from all of this, because people have really reached out to us to try to see how they can help, because our student athletes are missing out on a lot of these monumental things that they're not going to be able to participate in because of what we're going through.
Tammy, this is Taylor. That was one of my questions going into it, because obviously right now the spring sports have been affected by all of this going on. Is that also interfering with scholarship aspects for the student athletes?
Well, so scholarships, as far as like their NLIs and things like that, if I think kids still have that opportunity if they have their film on Huddle, if they're still communicating with their coaches, you know, writing their letters, having the contact with all of them. But there's still opportunity for the student athletes to get scholarships for money to go to college, not necessarily athletic scholarships. But the recruiting process was, you know, I won't say was over by, because we were about three-fourths of the way through the majority of our high school spring sports. Baseball and softball and boys and girls tennis and track, they all started on January 20th. So we had gotten a lot of the season in. So it's my hope that that didn't hurt any of our student athletes' chances on signing athletic scholarships. But they definitely still have the opportunity to do other scholarships. And we are promoting those through social media. We have things that the kids can upload on the OneDrive. And we're still trying to make sure that the kids have those opportunities.
So right now, what is the fall and winter scheduling look like? I know that you mentioned about football schedules. They still need to be due by June, correct?
Yes, so June 1st, I think, is when our football schedules are due to the FHSA. But we're running business like usual. Now is the time when we do fall scheduling. So we are still doing that with our coaches, and they're doing them through Zoom meetings or GoTo meetings or Skype or Microsoft Teams, all the different ways. We are still getting scheduling done for not only fall but winter, because those starting dates have now been posted via the FHSA's website. So all of our scheduling, fall is about done, football is almost done, and now we're into our winter sports, getting those schedules done. Boys and girls basketball, boys and girls soccer, wrestling, girls weightlifting, all of those sports are now starting to schedule.
Tammy, before the pandemic, tell everybody what a day in the life of Tammy Talley looked like, as far as, you know, everything from the morning all the way till going to different sporting events after school.
It just depends. I mean, I'm trying to check emails in the morning and voicemails and trying to return those calls, whether it's a parent issue or a coach has an issue with something at their school, or getting their rosters uploaded or game contracts signed. And then a lot of the afternoon is spent in the schools providing support to the athletic directors. I do a lot of facility stuff with our maintenance department, whether it's scoreboard repairs, whether it's fencing, sidewalk, ADA compliant, field fertilization, weed control on our athletic fields, making sure that fields are lined, making sure that our you know, basketball goals have, you know, nets on them. And I do gym floor resurfacing, so that's every week. And then try to get out in the community and support other groups like Walk Off and Jack's Pal and Jack's Sports Medicine Program, the different organizations that I'm a part of. So I stay pretty busy, to be honest. It's kind of funny. I get paid, my work day is 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., but sometimes I work harder 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. because that's when the athletic events are going on. And so managing that with officials, making sure that officials are there, that the kids are getting to and from their events via transportation, the school bus, and then just everything in between.
Well, Tammy, you also raised some student athletes yourself and your daughters. So do you have any advice for either the parents or the kids right now trying to do this virtually, just get through the rest of the school year in general or athletically?
Yeah, I would just say definitely staying in contact with the college coaches, making sure that they have their videos uploaded. I would say the number one thing is staying on top of academics, because every single coach that comes through a high school, the first thing that they ask is, what is your GPA and what type of student are you? So making sure that they're staying on top of their academics, that they're keeping their social media positive. I tell the student athletes, if you don't want your mom or your grandmother to see your social media account, then your coach probably doesn't want to see it in it and may not want to recruit you.
That's good advice to some business professionals, too. Yeah,
right. Good advice to some coaches we just talked about in the last segment. Yeah. So. All right, Tammy, well, we appreciate you coming on, and I know we appreciate all the work that you are doing right now behind the scenes, because we see you all the time when you come in for the Scholarship Athlete of the Week or of the Month. So, yeah, we appreciate what you're doing, and we hope you're staying safe out there.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You guys, too. Take care.
Take care.
Thanks, Tammy.
Tammy is super busy, as you just heard. And that's I wanted her to go through it because I figured a lot of people don't really know everything. It's not just supervising the sports mm-hmm. that go on. There is so much more to it. And so the fact that she also participates in being with Walk-Off Charities on the board of directors, also with Jack's mm-hmm. Pal, she's a board member of that too. That's over and above, and that's volunteer stuff. So yeah. she is a superstar and so incredibly lucky to have her in the city.
And always has a smile on her face
yes,
whenever
always.
She comes in here.
And dressed so cute all yep. the time. All
also
of the
true.
Time.
That's true.
She is one of those people where, honestly, I don't know how she is everywhere she is sometimes, because some of the events that I've covered, you know, I'll see her at media days, and then I'll see her at another media day, and then I see her pictures, and she's talking to an athlete at a different school across town, and it's this. And, like, there's honestly times where I'm like, I have no idea how she is doing this right now.
Yep.
It is very impressive. And she's so incredibly sweet, too. One time, as you all know, I needed some cowboy boots for a country concert since mine had gone kaput. She brought multiple pairs of cowboy boots to the radio station that I could try on just to see if any of them worked so that I would have cowboy boots.
Did they work?
Unfortunately, she has smaller feet than I do, mm-hmm. which if you've ever seen the both of us, she's a lot shorter than I am.
Yes.
So it makes sense. She has much more petite feet. But either way, it was so nice of her to bring those, and she was more than willing to share, you know, and she even was offering other pairs since those didn't fit. I was like, I think I will just buy a pair at some point, yes. which will still happen. It just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, and I've known Tammy for a long time because her daughters went to Mandarin, which is where I went. So I've known her through the years. So it's funny, the first time we realized who each other were once I was working here, because I was like, oh, Tammy Talley, I know you from Mandarin. And I told her my name. She's like, oh my goodness, I've known you since you were like 14. And I was like, I know, it's so weird. But it's cool how you reacquaint. That's one of the best things about working in this business, is coming across people again, and you know how they may have changed your life in the past, mm-hmm. and then how you guys get to work together now it's really cool.
Yeah, and having grown up here, that does tend to happen. I was out for a run the other day, this one day last week, and I was talking to a girlfriend of mine who happened to be walking with her son and two dogs, and I knew her from swimming. And then coming by in a golf cart is the former football coach at Fletcher, Kevin Brown, and he says hello as he's, you know, going by. And the only reason I think he even knew who I was is because we did our show at Fletcher a year ago in the spring, and I said hello to him, and at first I don't think he really recognized me, and then eventually he figured it out, and so he was like, oh, you're Mike and Seal's daughter, and oh, yeah, yeah. So anyway, it's just such a – athletics especially, and mm-hmm. the beach a lot of times too, is just such a small community. All right, we were talking in the break about different things that we've learned about either ourselves or others mm-hmm. in this time of quarantining and social distancing. Donna, what have you learned about yourself?
So I've actually learned two things about myself.
Okay.
One –
I thought you knew yourself really well before this.
One, despite my age, I can still take in some alcohol and deal with it well.
All right.
My kind of woman.
That sounds like a throwdown needs to happen once the quarantining has been lifted.
But two, one, on a serious note,
okay.
my second one, and I'm very surprised by it, if you remember me mentioning this, I have had seizures since I was 7. And they started as grand mals, which are the major ones. And I grew out of those into the petite ones, which forever I just call them my blonde moments, because it's just we're sitting here having a conversation and I'll be like, what? What was that? I forget, you know, those are my episodes. So since I've been home, which has been 3 weeks mm-hmm. now, right? Officially three mm-hmm. weeks, I think. I have not had one episode, and I'll have at least 3 to 5 a month.
So and you think it's a computer thing?
I don't know, but I also haven't been driving either. So my focus hasn't dealt with things that are moving. And the only time I had one was I had my EEG done. And so they try to
provoke you.
Right. And my doctor said he only saw one. And
what do they do with that? Lights?
Yeah, they do strobe lights. They have you open your eyes and look at the strobe lights, close your eyes, look at the strobe lights. They have you do heavy breathing.
For someone like you.
Yeah, it's not. The heavy breathing one is the hard one. For 3 minutes straight, you just have to sit there and do that.
Oh, wow.
And that's difficult for 3 minutes to keep up. So he only saw one, which was great. And I felt great. I haven't had any headaches.
Despite all the alcohol intake?
Right? Yes.
Surprising.
Well, maybe that's what it is. The alcohol is helping the seizures.
See, it would probably worsen. It make everything a lot worse. But no. And so I have to sit back and take a look at this for future. If my seizures are dissipating
right
while I'm not working, I don't know what that means for my future. But I know that I feel great.
Well, that's the most important part is your health.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And your future can be healthy and not driving as much
right.
and not staring at a computer as much.
No, I drive once a week, Tuesday. That's my drive.
So who goes to the grocery store?
TJ.
Okay.
Because he Perfect. Is one that has to be out and about.
Yeah.
Plus, he's been golfing a lot. So I'm like, just hit it up on the way home.
Good idea.
So, yeah. Plus, I'm not taking the kids anywhere. So.
True. Which you would drive short distances, though, if you were going to.
But still.
Well, I think that's awesome. So congratulations.
Yes. It's crazy, though. I thought for sure that probably, you know, with your mind just watching garbage. Well, General Hospital is not garbage in my mind. But, you know, you're just doing you know, you're not doing a whole lot to kind of help your brain. But maybe I am with doing Duval homeschool with JT.
You're also not watching sports. Could sports be in any way, shape, or form contributing to those? And the anger that may come with it?
Maybe. There's not a whole lot of stress. Although the working here at 1010, there's not a whole lot of stress. So.
That's true. What's been your drink of choice? Rum?
Yes. I have found Captain Morgan has this new shot, just a shot of rum.
Who are you?
I know. it's called Cannon Blast.
Okay.
Oh, those are good.
It comes, right? And it comes in, it looks like a giant cannonball. And it's so
Wait,
good.
Wait, how do you buy just a, it, so it's. Do you buy it at the like the liquor store?
So when I found it initially at Total Wine, I found it in the little tiny mini bottles, bottles. And I'm like, oh, well, I've never seen this on the shelf. And then TJ found it. It's a big old cannonball. And
So the bottle is like a ball shape, like a cannonball. Is what the bottle
so
is.
So good.
Well, I think once the pool opens back up, you should take a shot of the cannonball and then do a cannonball. And then come back, take another shot.
And invite me.
Will do.
I absolutely love it. All right. Thanks again to Tammy Talley for joining us, the director of athletics for Duval County Public Schools. We got a whole lot more, so stay tuned to 1010XL and Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels,
driven by Tire Outlet,
brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
DVR mics weren't on, right? Nobody heard anything over the week?
I don't think so. I haven't gotten any calls.
Okay, good.
Gibby, what's your go-to drink? Wine still?
Yeah, I'd probably say my
Even
girlfriend
in this
and
pandemic?
I. Yeah, our go-to is probably red wine.
Yeah. That's a good go-to.
Yeah,
I'm
it
so
is.
Glad Brian doesn't drink wine because I'd have to share, and that would be awful.
You're like, we need bigger bottles.
But and obviously they make those double bottles. Is that what y'all get, or do y'all just get individual bottles?
Oh, you're asking me? We get individual.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. I saw this going around on Twitter. This is kind of interesting. If 2020 were a drink, what would it be?
Cannon Blast.
Yeah, somebody said unsweetened tea.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be like what you can't stand.
Right.
Mine would probably be Rumplemintz because I can't drink that.
Yeah, like, I don't like those.
That's a bad night. When this is a bad year.
So probably,
I saw another one. Sorry, go ahead.
Probably not chilled tequila with no salt, no lime. Ugh. That's what 2020
bad
would be so far.
Too.
Yeah, like, and really cheap tequila. Oof.
Yes, that's that face you make when you take that bad tequila and you're just like, oh.
Don, have you ever had warm tequila?
I'm trying to remember if I ever had tequila. Ugh. I had to in the day, but tequila's not my go-to.
And it's not mine either. I can do it if it's chilled, but I also want the salt and the lime. Like, I'll be a complete brat about it. But warm, cheap tequila just makes me.
So my bad take of the drink, I guess, that you're saying you can't stand, I can't stand chocolate milk. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm not a chocolate milk girl. I don't like it. I'm a hot chocolate girl, but I'm not a chocolate milk girl. Don't give me any of that Yoo-hoo or, you know, Hershey syrup in the... No, you're ruining some good milk, man.
One of the things I saw that made me laugh was I keep getting flashbacks to New Year's when I was wearing my 2020, like, fun glasses, and this year did not deserve a party.
Have you thrown those away and stomped on them?
Like, gosh, this year.
I know. And we have to, you know, at times, like, we joke about it. And like I said, the memes, I feel like this is the year for that. We certainly have to be thankful we're all still healthy and working. And there's hopefully going to be an end in sight sooner rather than later where the majority of our country is able to return to normalcy and more people are not even needing the tests and all that stuff. That's certainly what we hope for at this point.
I have fallen in love with John Krasinski has started doing his own Some Good News channel.
I haven't watched it, but I've seen a lot of people rave about it.
Love it. It's fantastic. I mean, I got a special place in my heart. You know, he's a Boston guy, so it's fun when he makes those little cracks and stuff. And I just laugh because he was talking about, you know, and he'll get stories and real stories. And what he did this past week, which is something to look. And it was a 9-year-old from here, from Jacksonville, that he surprised with Hamilton, the whole cast on a Zoom conference.
How
surprised
awesome.
Her. So it's definitely something that you should check out. But Some Good News is fantastic, and it just makes you feel good when you're looking for those feel-good stories. I mean, that's what this is. And
that's what it's good to see right now, too.
Yes.
Because it is a lot of negative. So to get the little optimistic bits that you can is great right now.
By the way, I have two different girlfriends right around, one a little bit older than me, one a little bit younger than me, who both have been tested for the COVID-19, but neither one tested positive.
That's
so
good.
That is good news. Yeah, but both were experiencing some symptoms that they thought, you know, they needed to get tested. And so, yeah, thankfully, both tested negative. So hopefully there's a lot of people out there that are doing the social distancing, are not, you know, are taking this seriously and are not, you know, going to places other than places they absolutely need to go. All right. Over the weekend, NASCAR had another electronic race, another e-race. And one of the drivers, a driver that, Donna, I believe you really like.
Yes, I do.
That is Bubba Wallace. Well, he lost his temper. I guess there was a collision, an e-collision, and he lost his temper, and he quit the race.
He got really mad.
Lost his mind, rage quit, as he described it. Well, then one of his sponsors dropped him, and here's what I'll say. I understand the sponsor thinking that he misbehaved and not wanting to support someone who lost their mind in that fashion. But to then announce it to him on Twitter publicly, I thought that was a little unprofessional, I'll say.
I'll agree with you in that sense for the fact of they used the Donald Trump, you're fired.
Right.
You know, gif. And look, I'm not... I really enjoy Bubba Wallace. I thought last year he was fantastic. He was so close to winning the 500 last year, especially driving for Richard Petty. But I am not a fan of somebody with this type of attitude. I don't care if it's in regular sports, if it's just in a card game at home, or if it's, you know, online like this. If you quit and you have this much of a not really a temper, but just – you have that quit attitude in you. And granted, you're in a ring. You are actually on a track when you guys are racing and you don't do this.
That's what I was wondering.
Right. For the fact that he just up and was like, yeah, peace out. I'm done.
Well, because you explain, I don't know, honestly, that much about NASCAR at all. So in it, why was he so angry about this particular? Because I watched the video and it was just a little shove and he ended up wrecking.
Right.
Am I wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, it was just a little but that's all it takes for NASCAR.
Because they're going,
but this happens like
an hour.
Normally, actually, out on a track, and
for
he acted like it was like blasphemy.
But a lot of them do get seriously mad at one another, right?
They do. Yeah, there's a lot of heated, you know, not like in the old days when they used to actually fist fight, which was great. There's been a couple, but not a lot lately. But for me, something like this, I don't agree with. I don't like it that you took your ball and went home.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't disagree that one sponsor would be like, look, nobody's watching sports other than what you guys are doing online. And this is how you want to represent our company. That's not cool. We don't appreciate that, you know?
Yeah. And if you're going to have that type of a meltdown just with the virtual what makes you think, especially if you're the sponsor, that that's not going to happen in a real life circumstance, right, a real life situation? Just because it hasn't in the past with Bubba Wallace doesn't mean that it's not in there. Now we know that it's in there. I am very competitive, but I don't think that I've ever quit on my teammates or, you know, ever gotten to that point where I just got so mad that I just completely quit and walked away. I don't think that's ever happened to me.
No. I wasn't raised that way. That's not how.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah. I mean.
No one here, right? No. Okay.
No. And no matter how competitive you are, that doesn't give you the license. You don't get to go, well, I'm really competitive. That's why I acted like a jerk. No, that's not how this works.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that with something like this, which is, as I was watching it, because I didn't see it, both of you saw it before me. And as I was watching it, I was trying to figure out in general, like, who was who and what was going on exactly. But then the article I was reading was having Bubba Wallace's, like, comments after all of this was going on. And he was, like, laughing at Twitter, like, fans being like, you guys, if you're really going to get this upset over, like, a virtual game, then da da da, and kind of, like, lashing out on fans, too. And I was like, oh, this isn't good, because, like Lauren said, there's not that much to be watching right now in general. So you have this opportunity to, like, get some NASCAR fans, possibly, and you just probably messed that up.
Yeah, for sure, because, I mean, what, when you sit there and watch it, it looks so real. Does.
That's why I was like, I thought it was real at first.
It's insane at how,
I was like, how are they racing?
We have a new champion. Wow. Well, I mean, with the wrestling, Gronk was crowned, and that was actually happening. So that part's not too surprising.
Yeah, I didn't watch that at all.
Dana White wants to buy a private island so that he can have
the UFC stuff. So they're trying. And have you played one of those? Because that's what it made me think as I realized it was a video game, like virtual type. I was like, oh, okay. And then I started thinking, when you play those games, like when you go to an arcade and you play that, like, NASCAR race game, that thing is so hard.
No, let me tell you.
So I crash so many times.
Donna loves that.
When we had so much Daytona USA, and you would see it when it was at Dave and Buster's, which I don't think it's there anymore. But it used, because I used to work for Daytona USA at Daytona Speedway. And so on our breaks, because we did one, what I did was part of the 16-second pit stop challenge. So we would do one show an hour, and then we would have the rest of the time off.
So were you actually changing parts on a car?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We that gave you so the cool history of the pit stop and how far it's come along. And
what was your part?
We all changed up each time. We would talk to the crowd, tell them what's going on, or, you know, we would change the tire. We, you know, you'd be, you know, you jack the car up, whatever it is that you're doing. Then you invite the crowd.
Do you do this at your home now for, like, tips?
No. No, but that's how I met TJ.
Which I did know that part, but I didn't know you were actually, like, changing a tire when he was like, hey, baby.
Yeah. Oh, he was not like that.
You were like that. Yeah, true.
So we would have time in between our, you know, sets, and we had the keys to all the games, so we would go in and I would play Daytona USA every day, and I would get my butt kicked because I'm playing with all the guys and I'm trying and trying, and finally I figured out the secret, and I never lost after that. I would beat everybody and I would love it, and I'm so mad that game's, like, nowhere now.
I love them, but I just crash so many times. And
apparently you two need to talk during the break. You need to slip her some cash.
I'm like, I don't know how they do this, and I end up spinning. Luckily in those games it just, like, picks you up and you go right back onto the track, so I get extra chances.
I've never played a video game online. You?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
RJ?
I wouldn't have the capabilities.
Online games?
Like video games, or?
Yeah, like where how you can go online with PlayStation or anything.
Okay, yeah, then I mean NBA 2K.
Yeah.
So you can play against
other people.
Which I
saw Kevin Durant was a 1 seed and he lost to a 16 seed.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, this is, like, a big thing right now, the 2K tournament between all the NBA players. This is huge. But I'm really surprised that they really didn't get any of the YouTubers that really promote the product and have them play in the tournament.
See, that would have been smart.
Is this something you've watched, RJ? Can you watch them compete?
Oh, yeah, it's on ESPN.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but for the YouTubers, they've been doing some pretty cool stuff. Like, they've all kind of chatted and teamed up and they'll do, like, 5-on-5 with their created players. And then they want to do something where they all team up. And to all the people that donate to their stream, they give it to, like, a coronavirus, help with that. So they're trying to see, like, how they'll divide the money or if they'll just give it to all one charity. But
right,
shout out to them.
Yeah, that is good. By the way, quick funny story about the virtual stuff. So growing up, I always went to traditional churches where there was an actual priest, you know, mm-hmm. on the altar. Well, then now I go to 1122, and the very first time that I went that the pastor wasn't there live, he was on screens. But I didn't realize that they were doing that. Like, there was nothing that had told me ahead of time, like, he's not going to physically be there. So I was like, oh, my gosh, like, he's here, but I can't see him. Like, I didn't realize it was only on the screen because, again, I'd never experienced something like this. So I was like, I am having a spiritual moment.
Where
right
is
now.
The man behind the curtain?
It took me literally, I think, like half an hour to figure out that it was just him being, it was so lifelike. It took me like literally half an hour to realize.
That was me watching this NASCAR.
It had already been recorded. Well, it probably didn't take you 30 minutes. All right, we got more coming up on Helmets and Heels German by Tyra Alex. We'll keep it right here on 1010XL.
Seven years and still going strong.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010XL.
Before we get to some draft talk, I want to give a big shout out to Moe's. Welcome to Moe's. For the fact of, I know last week I gave a shout out to our sponsor Tire Outlet as my husband shopped around, found the best price for new tires was Tire Outlet, and they are fantastic. And today, when I went to drop off the information of what the Easter Bunny needs to bring to the house, I decided I will go across the street because at the town center, I know Moe's has a drive-thru. And I haven't had my Moe's in weeks because I usually get it at least once a week, mm-hmm. right, Taylor, when I was working here. And so I know that they have a drive-thru. And maybe it's like this all the time. I don't know, but their drive-thru is stellar. There's no one to talk to. You have your touch screen, the massive touch screen. You put in your own order. You pay right there. You drive up. Boom. There it is.
Nice.
Fantastic. Everything's correct. Everything's yummy. I still have some queso and chips left over, which will go perfect with a Cannon Blast when I get home.
I like the plan. Yeah. I stopped at Bono's on my way here and had the turkey and chicken and lima beans and black-eyed peas.
Turkey and chicken.
Turkey and chicken. Nice. I did the combo because I figured – go big or go home.
Right. Yes.
And when she asked small or large.
Large.
I said large. And I ate everything.
Good
so
for you.
It was delicious. The only thing I felt bad about was poor RJ's sitting back there relaxing.
Smelling
and I
it.
Come in with this, yeah, all this food. And then only after do I ask, oh, sorry, were you hungry?
Sorry.
And I'm sorry, still gone. Sorry about that. But it was absolutely delicious. And so easy, you just call ahead, swing by, pick it up. That one does not have a drive-thru, but other Bono's have drive-thrus. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, support local.
Yeah.
By all means, if you can, support local.
draft. So the virtual draft will be in a couple weeks, which should be very interesting. And you guys on the Frangie Show had Mojo on, Maurice Jones-Drew on today.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved what he mentioned for his draft. For the fact of, for me, I love that he said – it should not be Joe Burrow at number one because he's not the best prospect coming out. So, yes, I agree with him.
And in his mock draft, he has the Bengals selecting a quarterback, but not Joe Burrow.
Not Joe Burrow.
Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm. So, if
he
you
has
want to
Joe
check
Burrow,
out his,
by the way, going to the Dolphins with the fifth pick.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, basically, everyone's predicting Tua Tagovailoa to be drafted by the Dolphins mm-hmm. in that slot, and he has Tua going to the Chargers. Second pick, but they had to trade with the Redskins to get there. So his mock draft is kind of crazy. And he said that too.
Right. But because, I enjoy it. It's different.
Because he called Joe Burrow a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
Props.
Which, yes, for 1 year, he was sensational, but it is only 1 year.
It mm-hmm. is.
But would you rather have a year of sensational to base your information off of and take that person as your franchise quarterback? Or say a Justin Herbert who had all of this hype, and I'm not saying he's had a terrible time at Oregon, but he certainly didn't achieve anywhere near what Joe Burrow did in his time at LSU. Would you rather have a guy whose career numbers, career stats don't look quite as good, but he did start more? That's what I think, mm-hmm. certain
really
teams
crushed
might
it.
Be having that conversation. And,
right.
and certainly both of them, as far as the prototypical quarterback build, are there. It's then a guy like Tua Tagovailoa that's also in this conversation, yeah. which is so much fun, who is certainly not, does not look like a statue of a quarterback, but has all this other fun stuff like Kyler Murray does with mobility. And I, to me, Tua's career is going to be one of the most fascinating things I've ever seen.
Yeah,
I don't think Kyler Murray is going to be a phenomenal franchise quarterback. I just never, mm-hmm. but it has nothing to do with his size. I think it's, I don't think that he has the mental skills mm-hmm. necessarily to do it, or the football IQ to do it. Tua, I think, does have the football IQ. So to me, I think he is going to be fascinating, and it's really going to be interesting to see which team takes him, because that also does determine the trajectory. I saw one person, Ben Volen, on Twitter yeah. today. He tweeted, "Don't be surprised if Tua is still there for the Patriots to take." Mm. And so, like, what if he goes? I mean, what if Tua goes to New England? Craziness.
Well, and that's okay. what happened in the draft, and something like that. If something crazy, where MJD is saying that Herbert is going, the Bengals are going to take him, then I feel like a lot is going to shift, because right. I'm not even quite sure that Miami would take Tua at that point if Burrow is available, because everyone right now was thinking, if something crazy like that happened, you know? So that's what one pick in the draft could alter so many things.
Right. Sure, and that's, he has to have the Chargers to go up to get Tua. Mm-hmm. Although they trade with the Redskins, and the Redskins aren't going to take a quarterback,
no.
you wouldn't think, after they just drafted Dwayne Haskins and then traded for Kyle Allen. So I don't think the Chargers have to necessarily move up to two, but they would at least then, I think, need to move up to maybe four. I don't know.
It's crazy.
Because the Lions might take, although right now the Giants are, yeah, there's, he has so many trades in there, it's
there's
hard to remember
right, yeah.
who was the original. But yeah, if I was to bet money, I would say Joe Burrow definitely goes to the Bengals. The next quarterback taken, I would bet, is Tua, and then Justin Herbert. Yeah. That's what I think.
I would be so excited if the draft ends up looking like that, though. It's like, well, trade up. I'd be like, let's go this day.
Yeah. Which is fun. And in his mock draft, he has the Jaguars trading up, trading with the Panthers to get the cornerback out of Ohio State, Jeff Okuda. Mm-hmm. So the Jaguars then draft seventh to get that, you know, corner to replace a lot of the different guys they've lost between Jalen and A.J. Boye. I understand where he's going with that, and because he already has Derek Brown off the board, that's a mm-hmm. big bummer for me. If it played out perfectly, to me, Jaguars draft Derek Brown, the defensive tackle out of Auburn, at 9. He's so incredibly good against the run, helps mm-hmm. the Jaguars in an area where last season, obviously, they
really
were
bad.
Terrible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But he's also decent at pressuring the quarterback, too. He had the fifth highest QB pressure rate of all defensive tackles last season in college football. So you're getting a versatile player and a really good player. And then I would take a guy like Justin Jefferson, the LSU wide receiver, pair him with DJ Chark and give Gardner Minshew another weapon. And I love Justin Jefferson. If you watched, obviously,
a
lot of LSU. Jamar Chase, the other receiver, is too young, so he'll return for his junior season. But I would love to go receiver. And I know everyone says, well, it's a deep receiver class, so you don't have to go receiver at 20. You can wait and go receiver a little later. To me, there is a drop-off between the top tier guys and some of the other ones. So I love to go receiver there, and then maybe offensive lineman after the receiver. But I think that part depends on whether the Jaguars do that or not. I think all depends on, have they told us how they truly feel about their offensive line? Because they've said now multiple times that they actually like their O-line. Mm-hmm. So are they even thinking tackle or guard that early in the draft, or do they really believe they have a solid starting five, which obviously a lot of fans think that's incorrect.
Otherwise.
Right, and think otherwise. But if they take an offensive lineman, I think either in the first or second round, well, then they are saying, no, that we weren't really telling y'all the truth, which
right
in this time of year, general managers and
nothing's
coaches
new.
Yeah, don't tell the truth, and that's understandable.
Well, but when you look at all the other mock drafts, like if you look at Todd McShay, he has the Jags taken. Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at, who is this dude? Hold on. RJ White from CBS Sports. He has Derek Brown going to the Jags.
Yeah. I see a lot of Derek Brown, and I see a decent amount of Kinlaw. The weird ones are the quarterback ones, where there's some kind of trade where they trade up to try to get Tua, or they trade to get, I've seen the Herbert one. Mm-hmm. The thing, I agree with you, Lauren, in the Derek Brown aspect, just because that's a position that was huge last year, and a lot of the games, I mean, we saw it in Indy, the one game when Mac went out, and then they still rushed for a million yards after that. So that's definitely a position that is needed really bad, and right now in general, with having to fix the defense as a whole also. So that's kind of like that anchor piece that could help a lot. Aside from that, a lot of the players, which we've seen a lot, they want to get away from the drama, and everything that I've heard about him has been great. He got the Impact Trophy while he was in college, which is all about like maturity and integrity and on the field and off the field greatness. And that's a lot of people say a lot of good things about him in that aspect, which I think is good. You know, you obviously want the athlete and you want this guy that's going to be a stud on the field. But I think at some point you also have to start looking at these guys that you think could be potential leaders in the locker room, because we've lost Calais Campbell, who was supposed to be that. We lost a lot of these guys who were the leaders before. So we need a kind of this new round of defense that's going to help in that area.
Well, and the other one you mentioned, Javon Kinlaw, defensive tackle out of South Carolina, and he was really disruptive in the game against Georgia when South Carolina upset Georgia. He overcame homelessness in order to get to college and everything like that. So you would think that he also is a very mature individual. And I really don't think the Jaguars can go wrong between Derek Brown and Javon Kinlaw. I think Brown is better, but I think Kinlaw would also be really good. And he actually had of those top five in college football last year as far as defensive tackles pressuring the quarterback, Kinlaw was actually ahead of Derek Brown with the percentage of times he got to the QB. So that's another good thing. I just don't think Kinlaw's quite as good against the run. And again, that's been such an incredible focus here. By the way, what did you think of the video of Gardner Minshew from yesterday?
Love
with the blindfold, very accurate throws.
Loved it. But I'm also like, all right, did you do some tricks here?
Well, he turns and he goes, first try. Like, you could tell even he was like, oh, I just did that.
I thought it was very impressive.
I did too.
I also thought there's no way he couldn't see at least something.
Right? I know.
Like, that is impossible.
Like, I've hit a pinata. You can see some stuff at the bottom.
If you turn your head a certain way.
I can see.
Oh, yeah. There's holes parked out. We just couldn't see him. There's just like little eye flaps.
And I mean, that's why everybody wants him to be good so badly.
Yes.
Because there's such a fun, energetic aspect to him. And
yes.
And yeah, he is everything you want in a quarterback as far as personality goes, and off the field, just pure joy. We're never going to have to talk about any sort of, I think, issues like with other quarterbacks, even in the NFL,
right,
that we've had to discuss. I think he's so wonderful for this town and for this franchise. I just hope he can back it up on the field.
How do you think he'll react if, say, the Jags do draft Justin Herbert or whoever this year?
I mean, I'm sure he'll be frustrated, just like he was frustrated last season when Nick Foles, after being healthy, returned to the starting lineup. He thought he did enough to keep the starting job, and he made no bones about it. But he was also, I think, supportive of Nick Foles. So I think he has a right to be incredibly upset, angry, frustrated. But at the same time, I bet it just, you know, makes him work harder. I think he's an unflappable guy in that quarterback room, as far as, I don't think the emotions would get in the way of him doing his job by any means. Mm-mm. But I think Gardner's also incredibly smart about all of this. It's all a business. And if they draft a guy higher than you, it's because they think that person's better than you, and it's going to make them a better football team long term, and that's going to make them more money long term.
It's just hard to imagine his personality and his persona anywhere other than Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah,
I haven't even
thought about that.
I couldn't see him fitting in anywhere other than
What did he say about Jacksonville? It fits him because of, he didn't say,
we're white trash.
Trash. We're just trashy enough.
Yeah.
Just trashy enough.
So there might be a few other NFL cities where he could fit there, but probably not too many.
No.
I think that the video was really fun, and I hope that when training camp rolls around, which hopefully that is on time, we'll see, that he looks like Nick Foles looked in training camp last year. That's what I hope. I hope it's just an incredible show of accuracy day in and day out.
And I will tell you that in this, because obviously with Foles going to the Bears, and a lot of the Bears media that I follow, a lot of the podcasts that I listen to, even outside of Jacksonville, people love Minshew. Even like all the Chicago fans are like, he's great. He's mobile. I really think he could be something. Obviously work on the accuracy a little bit and ball control or ball security, I mean. And in that, so it's not just here. It's not just us being like, this guy's fun. He could be good for Jacksonville.
Right.
Like, other people are seeing that there is something there. There's some kind of spark, and you just hope that that can fully ignite on the field.
Yeah, and there is a spark for sure. Mm-hmm. It's just the problem is last year the teams that the Jaguars beat weren't very good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard to draw all of the evidence that we have and say he's absolutely going to be a stud at quarterback. But you know what? At this point, we just want football on time, on schedule, with everybody healthy and safe. Is that asking for too much?
No.
It might be.
But we see what he's doing at most part with all this time on his hands. So what else is going on with what we're doing with our time now that it's pretty freed up? Coming up next on Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet.
Stilettos and Sabermetrics.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010XL.
Well, ladies, we were talking about time on our hands, which we have a lot more of, most of us. Like I said, my weekdays are kind of still the same, but my weekends definitely are not as filled as they were previously. So
I enjoyed hearing your updates this morning.
Oh, yes.
Since Beef was not here today.
Yes.
Enjoyed hearing
it. So I had to do those early morning back again, which it's funny because I've only not been doing it for 3 weeks and my alarm went off. And I'm like, how did I do this for a year?
I ask myself that question all the time when I sleep in, and I'm like, I used to have to get up. Now, especially like if it was a day that Prosser wasn't going to be there and I had to start the show at 6 a.m., which means I would get here at like 5:30 in the morning, which means I would get up at like 4:30 in the morning. And I asked myself, like, what the heck? How did I do that? Like, I couldn't how do I even go to sleep knowing I'm about to wake up, it feels like?
Yeah, and that's anyway. How it was. I literally was sitting there, like, using my fingers to count because I was like, is this really all the sleep I get right now? But anyway, so obviously we've talked about a little bit before. I live on my own, so my two best friends are who I've been spending a lot of time with because that's all I really have, and I'm trying not to be like, hey, I'm hanging out with everybody, you know, like trying to behave. So Maria and Matt, I'm with, that's the only people I've really been around. And they have a son who's 3 and they're currently attempting to potty train and he's just not having it at all. And he's adorable anyways. So to me, it's funny. To them, it's so frustrating right now. Like, I showed up at their house on Saturday and Maria was like, I'm going to lose my mind. We're only on day 2 of this. And so I just want to tell the story because we're sitting there and we're watching a movie and they have a little potty in the living room and he'll sit there just to like, because it's kind of, okay, every 15 minutes, go sit on the potty. And so he'll sit there and he's just doing whatever. Like, honestly, he was eating snacks, like watching his little iPad, whatever. And the next thing you know, he gets up and we're like, where are you going? And he walks in the kitchen and he's gone. Marie's like, what are you doing? And she goes around the corner and he like peed everywhere in the kitchen.
Oh.
She's like, Jameson, you just were on the toilet. Like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm done. And she's like, you're what? And he goes, I'm done. And like walks upstairs, goes in his room, sits on his bed. And like, I'm laughing so hard. I follow him upstairs and he's just sitting there. He's like, I'm done with this. She's like, it was so cute and so dramatic. I was like, you are your mother also. And she's like, he's so dramatic. I'm like, this is you. This is you. So the whole, for the rest of the day, she honestly was like, forget it. I'm like, you can't do that. Because the moment, then he's going to be like, okay, well, I just said I'm done and mom let me not like have to worry about it anymore. So she's like, all right, she had to push through. But it's so funny because he's going through all these phases right now of this. In addition to, he just got on his big boy bed too. So the other morning they woke up and Matt goes downstairs. Like, he'll go turn the coffee pot on and then go check on him, whatever. So he goes downstairs and Jameson's sitting in the kitchen on the floor eating chips. It's like 6 in the morning. And Matt's like, what are you doing? He's like, snacks. Like,
it was no snacks are life.
Yeah. I was like, that's me. That's me right now. But it was so cute. So I was like, I don't have a kid. And not a lot of my close friends have kids yet. If they do, their babies are just really starting to get in that potty train. So I was like, let me ask Donna if she has any interesting stories or advice to help, because I have no idea. I'm just laughing.
Man, we got lucky with JT for the fact of when he was 2, he started at-home sessions with his ABA therapist, who we call PK. And so she was always at the house. So she was the one that was potty training him. We took over in the afternoon, you know, but
pretty much done.
She did it, man. That's nice. She had it done. I was like,
wow.
I know. Okay.
So what was her kind of mechanism to get it to work?
Whatever he loves as food. So he'd have to go and sit there and was it blueberries at the time? And he was obsessed with blueberries. I'll give you blueberries, but you have to sit on the potty. You know, so every time he got to sit there, he got to have blueberries or chocolate chip cookies.
Those are two completely different things.
He was obsessed with blueberries and chocolate chip cookies, so it was one or the other. But we are trying with Summer. She turns 2.
That's early.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but girls are easier, right? And they understand so much more. And she's already done it. We just got to keep it going.
Like on a regular.
You know, yeah. She likes her little mini.
Well,
mouse.
I'll just be like, sorry, guys. Like, she was lucky, and she didn't really.
Yeah,
have
I didn't
so
really
no
do
advice.
It. But we don't let him sit there and.
Do other stuff.
Yeah. It's like, okay, 15 minutes, and we go into the bathroom. Okay. Like, we didn't put it, but it's different for everybody. Yeah.
Well, and that's what I was saying. I was telling her, I was like, I feel like he's going to think it's just kind of a chair, and he's hanging out with everybody,
like
so.
If I'm peeing in the living room, I can go pee in the kitchen.
Yeah,
so.
Wherever the house is open opportunity.
I read in the Peter King column, he interviewed Chris Ballard, who has 5 kids, and one of his children's names, one of his girls' names is Summer. Huh. Then he also has Rain, R-E-I-G-N.
Hmm. Okay.
So if you
like
say
a reigning champ?
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. But then I was thinking, like, if someone was saying all their names, it'd be like Summer Rain.
Right.
And you wouldn't know that that's 2 different kids.
Right.
And you definitely wouldn't spell Rain properly. But Summer is very cute.
Yeah. It is. I love Summer. Okay. Well, anyways, moving on. Speaking of pain in the butts, though, one mm-hmm. we have here right now in Yannick Ngakoue. He joined ESPN NFL Live today. And obviously, we've seen all these tweets. Once cryptic, now very obvious, get me out of Jacksonville tweets. So he joined NFL Live, ESPN's NFL Live today. RJ, will you play that clip for us?
Well, I'm not really sure what team I will be landing at, but what type of team that I would love to join is a team that has great culture. I really want to be a part of a team that has great culture, and winning is a habit. I don't want to be part of a team where losing is a norm or anything of that nature. I want to be part of something special. Also, I just want to go to a place where the community, I can make a great impact in the community and just reach out to younger people that look up to me.
Now, I mean, I get it. I get you wanting to win. We all want to win. Do you think we want to cheer for a team that is losing all the time? Do you think anybody on any team that is losing, and you think about all of them around the league, that's what frustrates me. It's not just the Jaguars. Look at the Browns. Look at Detroit. Look at the Bengals recently. But a lot of these teams have been suffering and have done it for a long time, but for some reason I feel like, I don't know if it's just because we're here, but our players are so vocal about it and just like throw their team under the bus, and they're not technically the city because a lot of them are like, hey, I love you Duval, I love you fans, but here's all the rest of the dirty laundry of how I feel. And I just feel like no one else does that. The ones that do are the ones that we think are absolutely crazy, like Antonio Brown or something like that. And they're on the list of, like, do not sign him. But then we have these guys doing this constantly, I feel like.
Yeah, it's incredibly frustrating, especially to watch someone that you thought was going to be here for a really long time act like this. You know, he also says in that interview that things went sour when the Jaguars didn't sign him to a long-term deal last offseason. Okay, well, that was last year, and it feels like you have, you know, more negotiating to do now. You're not the best defensive end in the entire league. You have a great knack for getting the ball out of the quarterback's hands, and that is special, don't get me wrong. But you're not great against the run. You can't seal the edge. You're not that good at that. And so you're not the best defensive end. You're not, to me, a top 3 or a top 5 like he certainly thinks. Defensive end in this league, and so you're not going to get paid like the highest paid guys. And I feel like instead of him saying, okay, I'm going to take $20 million a year, and that's going to change my life, my family's life, and I want to be a part of something, I want to turn this team back into what it was once before, I want to be a leader, what all the things I want to hear from him, because I do think he's this great individual. Instead, he's certainly gone the Jalen Ramsey route. Mm-hmm. How can I say enough that's going to embarrass this franchise enough that they are going to be sick of me and trade me somewhere else?
I wish the franchise would come out and be like, well, we kind of did make you an offer and you said no. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that throw in at the end of that clip, and I want to be somewhere where I can help the community. Duval's always been a great community. I don't understand. You couldn't help this community? You don't feel like people are with you?
I think the agent probably advised him when talking about what you want moving forward mm-hmm. to not just talk about on-field stuff, but to also say you want to be a fixture in the community.
And I don't
almost
understand.
Like a plea to the next city. Yeah.
I hear that as an exec, and I'm like, all right, so you don't want to go to Detroit? Detroit, you're my first call. Cleveland, you're my second call. Like, that's who, you know, well, you're not going to dictate where we send you.
Right. Yeah. He has no choice in the matter.
Yeah. Well, and it's frustrating to me, too, because I feel like he's running in circles, and this is what I felt Jalen did also, and mm-hmm. that's what annoyed me was – you start here and you're saying, hey, this is the reasons that I want out. And then it changes and it changes. And then you go back and you get caught in almost lies, which is what I feel like he's at. Because we constantly heard, you know, he's like, I want $22 million is apparently what he was claiming for that bit of time. And apparently, you know, this is reports, but reportedly right. Jags did offer him the 19. That wasn't enough last offseason. So we go through the season, whatever. Now he's saying, this is what I want. This is what I think I deserve. Okay, but then now he's like, it's not even about the money.
Yeah.
It's not about the money. It's about this, this, and this. But then he's like, but I really want to be able to support my family. But it's not about the money. It's about culture and this. And I just feel like it's these constant circles where I'm like, you are digging yourself in this hole and you're starting to look like an idiot.
Well, and every player wants a winning culture.
Yeah.
Every player wants the most possible money. You're not alone in that. And again, I don't think you're the best at your position to where you can be demanding these things. So it would be nice for a change for the Jaguars players to be thankful and grateful to have the amazing city they live in and this owner who's willing to spend a bunch of money. And look, the Jaguars pay players. Like, they may not always pay the right players, yeah. But they do pay players. And I think they were going to give Ngakoue a contract extension based off of his play over the last, you know, 3 years here, but 4 years here. But it's just, it's so annoying when the vitriol and the turmoil gets mixed in. And it's like, look, especially here in Jacksonville, there's not a lot else you could do. The beach is closed. Yeah. So now everybody's zeroing in on all the NFL news, and Jan is putting himself at the forefront of all of that.
Mm-hmm. That's why we need videos from Minshew. Yes. Daily. Daily videos, please.
Yes. And that I wouldn't think be a bad thing. It's quick to forget how easily the NFL can change, how easily a team can change overnight. Yeah, we have Boston. We have the Patriots, who were this for so long because of Tom Brady. But then you have other, with the 49ers going from this to this. Granted, there's factors in that. You know, we had Jimmy G was hurt, and then he wasn't hurt, and that changed the season. But you see these teams who were good for a really long time, Steelers, now Patriots losing Brady, things like that, and it's very easy to change. So I feel like being one of those players that do stick through the adversity and the bad times is way more worth it. Not saying that's going to happen, obviously, this season, but eventually that's what Jacksonville wanted you to be here for, because right. They wanted you to be that guy to help us get to that next, help us get that winning mentality. But it's not going to happen when all the good players are throwing fits because they can't, we're not winning, and they're not winning enough games. Like, also, by the way, guys, you are the ones playing on the field. We're not.
Man, yeah. And it's just sad because Jan had all the fans on his side last year.
Yeah.
All the fans were like, pay him. You got to pay him. And now all the fans are like, you know what? We're sick of you. Bye.
And it's, I think there's still a group that probably is in his corner. And I get that because he is a really good player, especially getting after the quarterback. But I just feel like, at some point, I want to move on from even having these conversations. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. When I first started at 1010 full time, I was in the locker room before we had Hayes join us, and I interviewed both Jalen Ramsey and Yannick Ngakoue, and they couldn't have been more opposite as far as how they reacted to questions and just different ways they answered things. And Jalen was a one word answer guy. You could tell he thought he was better than everybody who was asking him questions. Jan was the complete opposite. And so I don't know if it was the Jalen Ramsey influence for that period of time, or if he's just gotten some really bad advice. I'll say bad advice, at least in my opinion, mm-hmm. to where you really turn your back on something that this city and this franchise, I think, was going to pay you. And now I do think he's digging this hole that if he ends up playing here under the franchise tag, he just looks foolish, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah.
All right, quickly, best thing you did this weekend or ate this weekend or drank this weekend. I think Donna's is going to be the cannonball. And by weekend, I mean every day now. It's a regular occurrence, right?
Every other day.
Every other day. Okay. Is cannonball correct?
Cannon blast.
That's cannon blast. Cannon blast. I'm just going to call it cannonball from now on.
With the cannon blast.
Yes.
Taylor, you?
I will probably, this is the second weekend in a row that I went and got the box of margarita. And it's funny because I'm usually not a big margarita drinker because the sour mix sometimes is just too mm-hmm. much at certain places. But I have done that 2 weekends in a row, and they're absolutely delicious. And it's perfect because it's actually been, our weekends have been very nice and we're like stuck. But I'll be on my patio just having some margaritas, listening to music. And that's been pretty much the extent of it right now. But I don't mind. Like, I do get a little antsy sometimes, but honestly, the few months before that, my weekends were so crazy that I was looking forward to being like, man, I just wish there was one weekend where I didn't have to do anything. I didn't ask for 12 weekends, but it's fine.
Yeah. I'll say dinner Sunday night, Brian grilled pork chops, and then he soaked kidney beans all day, and then like had onions and garlic and all that kind of stuff mixed
in.
Get
with the beans. You really like beans.
I do really like beans. And then he mashed them and then also made rice. It was phenomenal. And then he made a mango frozen slushy drink with rum. It was fantastic. So shout out to my at-home personal chef. All right, thanks to Andrew Gibson.
Alcohol, man.
I know. Thanks to Andrew Gibson for the first hour. Thanks to RJ Saunders for the second hour, for Donna Murphy, and for Taylor Dahl. I'm Lauren Brooks. Hope everybody enjoyed this edition of Helmets and Heels driven by Tyler Outlet. But don't go anywhere. Stay tuned for Into the Night with Rick Ballew that comes up next on 1010XL.